Welcome to our monthly call on sharpening your mental game. Thanks for taking the time to listen. I appreciate you being part of this world that I'm creating, and I appreciate the time and commitment that you're making to make that happen. It's my hope as you listen to this call that you're able to pick up two or three different points that could enhance your life, open you to new possibilities, or create some new thinking so that you can have the life that you want. Last month's call was about relationships. As I talked, I believe it begins with you and understanding what's most important to you in a relationship. What do you value most in life? And then finding out, how does that match your husband's or partner's? Sometimes that creates conflicts that you never understand why, and it's often at the basic of what do you value? What's most important to you? It's my assumption that we're taught too little about relationship work and need a lot more explicit skills, knowledge, and resources to create the harmonious, loving relationships that we really all desire, and I believe that would decrease the divorce rate. And I love the conversations around relationships and how valuable it is to making relationships passionate and alive. So go to my website, DottieHager.com, and listen to the entire share if you want more information about that. As we began these calls a few months ago, I had you look at all aspects of yourself, your spiritual self, your mental well-being, your physical well-being, your money, your career, your relationships, having fun in your life, to see how balanced your life was, to see which areas of your life could use some boost or more attention. Well, so far we've gone through the money, the physical, and the relationships, and tonight we're going to be looking at the mental well-being. And there's three main points that I'd like to share with you about sharpening your mental game. First is, how are you keeping your mind fresh, alert, and alive, awakened to the possibilities life's offering you? And then to know how you create your life and dream and desires by becoming more conscious and paying attention to what you're thinking. Are you aware that you are creating the meaning of what's happening in your life? And you could save yourself a lot of hurt and sorrow by understanding this more thoroughly. As you think about sharpening your mental games, what are you doing to keep it sharp? Are you learning new things, challenging yourself? How are you keeping your mind alive and fresh? Brad Lomanick said, when you rise in the morning, nearly half of your day is determined by the patterns you either intentionally created or passively allowed. So more than 40% of the things that we do throughout the day aren't the result of decisions, they're habits. And so the important question to ask yourself, because habits can really help us, but ask yourself, are the habits that you're into, are they enriching your life, or are they outgrown bad habits keeping you stuck and frustrated with life? You know, too often throughout my career and as I've been working through my business, so many people complain about learning new things. You know, they keep asking me, why are you wanting to do something new? Why don't you just take it easy? But I just, you know, love learning, and I just can't get enough of it. And so it's probably why I think about myself as a personal development goddess. I just love the learning and figuring new things out and helping people have a better life because of it. As you probably know, reading and writing are important skills to utilize to sharpen your mind. How much are you reading and writing? Do you utilize a journal? Do you participate in book studies? Do you see what the latest bestsellers are? Well, sadly, what I've noticed and what the research tells us is most of the mental development that we received was what we got in school. Now, how many years ago was that for you? I know for me, it was a very long time ago. But So as soon as we leave school, what we do is let our minds atrophy. You forget to do any serious reading. The Pew Research said that in the U.S., 76% of people 18 years and older read at least one book last year. And women are more likely than men to read, and people with higher income are more likely to read more. But one book a year, how stretching is that? And that's an average with all the people that we have. And then we don't even explore areas outside of the areas that we're in, and we're hardly curious about any other things in life. So I encourage you to think about some areas. What would be of interest to you? What would stretch you? What would be good for your mind and to sharpen your mind? Education is vital for your mind. Tony Robbins says you're either growing or dying. What I want to share with others is it's never too late to recreate yourself. When you retire, there's a whole new lifetime before you. So what is it that you're creating? What is it that you want to do? What's on that bucket list? The statistics are sad that something like 60% of people die within a few years of retiring. And that's because they don't have purpose or passion in their life anymore. Everyone wants to be challenged. Maybe not at the pace of your past career, but you need something to keep you motivated, interest in life. For too many people, you think being a grandparent or being able to golf will do it for you, but it doesn't fulfill your life in the way that you thought it would in many cases. You need that challenge. You need that push. You need a purpose. And that's why you see so many people at retirement do contribution work, because they feel like it's purposeful, something for them to do. Before I retired, I knew I wanted to coach because I'd gone through the coaching certification and started doing that with a few people. But as I was retiring, I was like, well, how do I get more clients? How do I create a business? I knew nothing about building a business, but I really wanted to coach because I know coaching helps people live their best life and have what they want in their life. So I had to sharpen my mind and become very inquisitive. There was lots of self-discovery in a world unbeknownst to me. And curiosity is vital. So you have to be open and you have to be childlike as you take this on. And then as part of the spiritual journey, you have to trust and be open and ask your guides or God, whoever that is for you, you know, what is it that I need to be doing or could be doing to serving the greatest that I could with the skills and who I am and what my life's about. So I've learned so many new things that I would have never done or even thought that was going to be this part of my journey the way that it's turning out. And it's not always easy to do something totally new for yourself, but really it's all in your attitude. Make it playful. Enjoy the new learning, and just allow yourself to see a whole new world open up for you. And I just want you to know that you too can create what you want. And it has a greater impact than the skill in the business that you're doing, because you're building your brain power. You're keeping your mind fresh and alive. So take time to nurture your mind and body before disease sets in. As you know, there's so much information out there on dementia and Alzheimer's. An estimated 5.3 million people will have Alzheimer's in 2015. 5.1 million of those are over 65 and mostly women. And that's according to the Alzheimer Association. In one of my daily calendars, The Secret, that I read each day, one of the days shared a thought about using the analogy that you are a captain of your ship, and your ship is your body, and your mind's the engine, and you're the captain. So use the power of your engine, your mind, to steer your ship to the destination you want. Your mind is precious and valuable, but it must be filled with positive thoughts and ideas to head you to the future that you desire. It will atrophy if you don't push and challenge it. So, what are you doing to stimulate the growth in your life, to sharpen your mind? So the second point that I want to talk about in sharpening the mental game is understanding how powerful your self-talk is. It's creating your future, and that's bad or good, depending upon what you're saying and thinking. You know, if you think life sucks, then that's what you're going to get. If you think life is a journey and there's so many opportunities, that's what you're going to see, and that's what your life's going to present to you. And you can tell what your future is going to be based on what you're talking about. What are your conversations with your friends, your partner, your colleagues? Become aware of the choices that you're making and become self-reflective about them. Use each moment to choose the life that you want by paying attention to your thoughts. A key to creating the life that you want is controlling your thoughts and choices. And one of the little stickies that I had around for a long time would be, is this choice propelling me to the future that I desire, or is it keeping me in the past? And putting things like that around help you just shift that so that you can use your mind to start creating the life that you want. Recently, I've been working on getting my thoughts more in alignment with my desire to be my 130-pound self. Well, I've been trying to watch closely kind of the negative thoughts that I use to beat myself up when it's not totally perfect, the things that I eat. Or another part of one of the problems that I have with all of this, it's so easy to retreat back to what, you know, is status quo. Just like, oh, well, if the scales didn't tip, you know, 2 or 4 pounds in a day, I'm like, okay, well, it's just easier. I'd rather just eat, you know, that bread that I gave up or whatever it is that I now am focusing on, because it's the easier way to go, but it's not in alignment with where I say that I want to be. And for me, it's about living your best life. And so if I'm not doing that and I'm not challenging my thinking and my beliefs and actions, I'm not in alignment with what I say. And I want to be authentic, and I want to walk the talk. So I have to stay out of the excuses of why things aren't happening the way that I want. And I use mantras like expect the best and, you know, trying to figure out ways to keep me back on track, you know. All things will work out, you know, in perfect timing. Whatever you need for you to help you move in the direction that you want. I want you to become more conscious and become more aware of what you're saying and see how it's either keeping you stuck, and you know because that's what is showing up in your life, or is it helping you move, even if it's 1 pound a week? That is at least moving that. And if I notice I'm saying nicer things to myself, and if I notice 90% of the things that I'm eating are healthier, more organic, or whatever it is that you're feeling like you want to add to your life, then that's so important for you to pay attention to it. So a great way to start noticing is just looking at, how do you see the world? Are you one of the people who see the glass half full, or do you see it half empty? Now, just use this, and it can kind of help you to see which way that you look at it. So have a little piece of paper and just jot this down. The first thing that comes to mind, you know, don't try to make it right or whatever you think you're supposed to say, but I believe my life is what? And then I believe the world is blank. Write out what you think that is. For me, I believe my life is blessed, loving, joyful, and abundant. I believe the world is full of possibilities. Do I know there's lots of stuff going on that I don't like? Sure, but I don't have to pay attention to that. Stephen Covey teaches about your circle of concern and circle of influence. Much of that stuff I can't do anything about. Do I like it? No. And then I say to myself, how can I do something about it if it's really bothering me? So if that's really, like all the killing and, you know, the meanness that's happening in the world is really upsetting to me, so I'm always working on how could I be more peaceful? How could I be more loving? And then that's why I teach that, is because I really want to expand that, because I know it starts with me. And then when I feel like I'm grounded, then I can add that to other people. So, you know, when I get caught up in it, what I know is I have tools and resources to get me back on track more quickly. And so I do things like, you know, surround my world with ideas in the direction that I want to go. I listen to CDs from Abraham Hicks, Joel Osteen. I watch his TV shows. I have calendars all around. I have little mantras, the books I choose to read. So for you, you need to put those structures around, ways that will help you, you know, keep your mind focused in the direction that you want. And so for me, it's been decades, you know, doing this work. So I can get back on track much more quickly than maybe you, if this is the first time you're encountering this, or if it's been a few years. It's just nice to have these little reminders, just like my daily tips, you know, just a reminder of, oh, yeah, I need to change the way that I'm thinking. All those little things are around to help you live the life that you want to do. But you've got to figure out what works for you and for your life and what you want your life to represent. Just ask the small question, you know, what do you want to be known for? And then you create your world around that. And will everything be in alignment with that to begin with? Absolutely not. But that's why you start taking baby steps to help you get there. You know, the universe or God provides you the experiences that align with what you believe. So once again, if you believe in an abundant, loving world, you're going to get great examples of that. And if you're just making shifts, then what you want to do is you want to make sure you celebrate and write down every time you see evidence of, you know, that happening for your life. Just like with me, it's like, we had this big birthday dinner, you know, and instead of having the rolls and all the extra things, I didn't. And I, last night, was so excited because I said to myself, way to go, girl. And just do little things like that that can really keep you on track, because it is a big shift in the way that you're thinking. But I want you to know, you know, you start with noticing, where are you? Where do you want to be? And you can change it at any moment. You know, will I make a bad choice? Absolutely. So, you know, I don't need to beat myself up anymore about that. I just notice it, and then I say, okay, I have another opportunity to make a better choice. You know, and does it take work? Sure it does. But it's worth the effort and the focus to have the life that you want. You are your thoughts. As you think, so you are. And so have you ever thought about what you're thinking? You have some 60,000 thoughts in a day, and something like 80 or 90% of them are the same as yesterday, and 75% are often negative. But your life is showing you what you're thinking. And so just keep asking yourself, are they contributing to the life that you want? Are your thoughts more in the direction of your desires, or are they taking you away from them, keeping you stuck? Are they more positive or negative? You can tell by, are you angry and frustrated? Are you wound up tight? Or are you peaceful and joyful and loving? You can feel the difference, and you know the difference when you're not in alignment with what you want for your life. So just start taking notice of your thoughts, your body language. They're all hints to your inner dialogue. And as Mike Dooley says, your thoughts become things, so choose the good ones. Your inner thoughts become your outer world. And that's why it's so important to start becoming the detective and start noticing exactly how you're talking, what you're sharing with friends, because that is what you're creating. So what could you do today that could empower you and give you the most bang for your buck in changing your life to create the life you want, or even like me, just in one area, just in the area of maybe the, since we're talking about the mental, sharpening your mental, that's what you need to think about for tonight. Take time to pay attention to your inner dialogue and that chatter in your head. Are they words like, my day unfolds in peace, in perfect peace and harmony. I'm able to handle all situations with ease and joy. Or isn't it in a direction of, why can't you ever do anything right? Or hurry up, why are you always late? Just notice the difference. Notice how you feel. I certainly wasn't taught to pay attention to my words. Now, I was taught to be kind, and my words aren't always so kind, or that I was the director and producer of my life. And that's the gift that becoming conscious allows you, because you can choose, and you can choose again. And once again, you're always getting the feedback, and you know which direction your life's going. Make baby steps to start going in the direction you want. Simply be willing to make another choice. It's all part of the mental game of what you really want and why that's so important to you. As you look around, you probably notice people that have lives like you want. Well, their words and thoughts reflect what they love rather than what they don't like. So their positive thoughts and words produce positive results. As Abraham Hicks teaches, you have 17 seconds with your thoughts, words, and actions before they begin to create. 68 seconds and they are in motion. So are your thoughts on what you want in your life? And that's often a great way to figure out, like when you have family over, friends over, what's the conversation? Is it going in the direction that you want? You're always at choice. Is it hard? You can just stay out of the conversation rather than get involved with it, because after 17 seconds or 68 seconds, you really got it going in that direction. And just ask yourself, is that what you want? As James Allen says, your mind is like a garden that you cultivate intellectually or allow to run wild. But if no useful seeds are planted, many undesirable ones will fall into the fertile ground and weeds will take roots. So changing your thought patterns will change your life. And a thought pattern is just a habit. It's just the way you do business. It's your beliefs that you've set up. And you attract things to you based on your beliefs. So keep asking yourself, is that what you want? Just notice if something's upsetting you right now, if you're feeling overwhelmed with what's going on. So what are you mostly talking about? Are you talking about the overwhelm and being upset? Or are you really trying to find peace and joy and really looking at the solution? You don't want to deny that it didn't happen. You want to say, gosh, that made me mad or whatever the situation is. But then immediately go to the solution instead of, why did they do that, blah, 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 and staying in the drama of the situation, because that's where we keep ourselves stuck. So once again, I encourage you to think about using like a mantra. And as I've mentioned probably many times before, because it was one that I needed a lot and sometimes still need it, is I can choose peace instead of this. So when I notice I'm upset, instead of just going on a tirade about it, I can choose peace instead of this. And then all of a sudden you notice that wasn't as big a deal as you thought it was going to be. And another thing is set your intentions before a situation. So as you think about the beginning of your day, you can intend and say that I have a peaceful morning, that I have great conversations with my child or children, that I intend the traffic to flow easily and on my way to work. So plan it and shift and start thinking the way that you want and start noticing those things. And you have to believe it for it really to happen in your life. But the more that you start playing with these tools, the more that you're going to start seeing things happen for you. Another fun tool to use is speed dial the universe. and it's a journal by Gina Gabellini to create your wild hair intention for the day so that you can mentally challenge yourself and really create what you want. And she tells you to make it wild because that's how you're creating a new life for yourself, new possibilities for yourself. You kind of answer the question, wouldn't it be awesome if? And then think about it, and that's your wild hair intention for the day. Look how much fun that is. And then before you know it, that's probably created in your life. So make it wild, make it fun, and make it something that you're challenging your mind. Remember, everything's possible. Another thing to help you sharpen your mental game is to meditate, to help you quiet your mind, to quiet that chatter, to listen to God, to find the space to your soul's desire. It's one of the healthiest things that you can do for yourself to decompress, focus, and find peace, even if it's just 5 minutes a day. It's a great way to begin your day, and it sets the tone and mood of the day. So find structures like these that will help you sharpen your mind, think about what you're thinking, create the life that you want, even if it's, you know, I want to go fishing, and I want to enjoy that. Whatever it is, you want that to be peaceful and things to flow for you. You don't want that to be angst and feel like nothing ever goes right on my fishing trips or whatever it is for you, because that's how our conversations go, and you can change that and just have a much more peaceful, loving way. Remind yourself that your mind is the engine. It takes discipline and accountability to keep moving towards your desires, towards your dreams, to sharpening your mind, and to living a more peaceful, loving life. Just like this morning in yoga, we were doing reverse triangle, and as I was reversing, I saw this little bug crawling towards me. It took me totally out of the flow and peace, and I became obsessed with him. That's just how easy it is to get off track. So just think about, you know, that little bug as you think about your life. And will you get off track? Absolutely. But you can also get back on track with the more structures you put in your life. You know, accountability partners, apps on your phone to remind you, daily tips that I send out or other people send out just to remind you, to help you get your life focused in the directions that you want. Find examples of people that are living the life you want. You know, what are the qualities of the of people that you admire? Find one of them. And for instance, I'll give you an example. You know, I'm building my business. And so I'm planning on creating some group coaching classes and e-courses. And so somebody that I admire is Amy Porterfield, who has fabulous programs and reputation. So you ask yourself, what do I admire about that person? And so for Amy, she has great content. She's upbeat. She's generous with what she offers. She's easy to follow. She has a variety of ways to teach the content, videos, audios, worksheets. She's highly respected by her colleagues. She's knowledgeable and passionate about what she does. The list goes on about why I admire her. So as I'm designing my programs and stretching myself, I want to keep those things in mind. Mentally, that's my guide. Those are important qualities for me to have. And that's the same way in your life. If you're looking for more joy in your life, find people who have it. If, you know, see what they're doing. Do they play more, love more, care more about others than staying in the busyness of life or just letting life happen? So what I ask you to do is write out the qualities, and I have you doing this on your worksheet. So if you don't remember the exact details, it's on your worksheet that you have with this month's recording. So are they qualities that you need to work on to get closer to what you want? Like, for instance, for me to do the webinars and to do the group courses, I don't have those skills. So I need to learn how to do those. And that might be the same for you. And that's how I'm sharpening my mind, because I'm always keeping it active, always keeping it learning. So just keep in mind what you're focusing on and make it on what's important to you. And just choose one person in one area of your life so that it'll make it realistic for you. And then break it down in small parts, just like with Amy. I mean, there's, you know, I ask you to do three different things to sharpen your mind. She teaches, you know, webinars. She teaches Facebook ads. And then she also has all these partners. Well, I'm only going to take one of those at a time and really learn how to do my webinars so that I can do these group courses. And so I can touch more people as I'm doing that. And so that's my first step. And do the same thing with yourself. So Buddha says, you need, the mind is everything. What you think, you become. And so there's so many different ways to begin noticing your thoughts for a day or a week or in a given situation. And so I once read that your thoughts can be like jailers of your fate, imprisoning you with shame, or like angels freeing you to create what you want through their goodness. So what are your thoughts sounding like now? Keep a list of them and just take a few of them and just notice where could you make some changes. Start with a small period of time in your life, like your morning routine or your drive to work. Notice your dialogue. If you're in a state of frustration, you want more peace, then focus on how do you get more peace. Find something that will shift your energy so that you can start feeling more peaceful. And if you're like me, I wasn't even conscious, and it was not until later that I began looking at my patterns of thoughts. And that's why I love bringing this up, so that you can create the life you want. You can have the peace and fun and joy, because life is meant to be joyful and loving and fun. So I quickly learned how judging I was to myself and others, and how much I was comparing myself rather than focusing on how could I be better today than I was yesterday? How can I serve in a greater way? How can I be a kinder person? Just little things that make huge differences in our life. You know, many people go around and numb themselves through drugs, alcohol, sex, or food to stop this monkey mind. But I ask you, you know, to think about what would it take for you to change your thinking or what's planted in your mind without having to go to those ends. As my mentor Debbie Ford says, we must address our internal negative dialogue if we're to succeed in creating a life beyond the boundaries that we know. How can you choose a healthier way to live? Because what I now know is those thoughts in your head, you give meaning to them, and that's what's driving you crazy. Which is the next step that I want to talk about, is how to neutralize those thoughts and become the observer of the situation and leave the meaning out of it. So as you're thinking about different situations in your life and how you're creating meaning about those situations, I want you to know that's not how everyone thinks about situations. And I know many times if you're in relationships, you wonder, they know what I'm thinking or they know what I expect, but the truth is you've created those meanings, you've created those expectations, and it's all based on your beliefs, your emotions, and your experience, not necessarily the way that it is. I know as a principal, I often heard many stories, parents telling me, you know, teachers didn't treat their child fairly when their child didn't get a certain grade or a certain situation happened in the class. We all have plenty of stories around that. And I'm not saying at times it's not necessary to check into situations, but too often it's your own stuff around a situation that clouds your thinking. For instance, one of the people I follow is David Neagle. Someone wrote into him and said that they think that they were having a fear of success. And David shared, it's never about the fear of success. It's about the stories you have around success. So what have you created success to mean? Are you worried what others will think about you when you make a mistake on your way to being more successful? Of what others will think if you do become successful? Or how you might look and feel? Do you worry that they might feel uncomfortable with who you now have become? All of that dialogue is made up based on your own beliefs, in this case, about success. I remember so clearly how afraid I was when I was going through my divorce about what people would say to me, about what the patrons of my school would say. If I couldn't even take care of my own relationship, how could I take care of a school, is what I'd think that they were saying. All that was made up. My worries, you know, my concerns of how I was to act or be. You know, you probably heard the saying that 90% of what we worry about never even comes true. So how are you beating yourself up over making meanings about different situations? I say, give yourself a break. Just pay attention to what happens, but don't go on about it with some story or with some meaning. It's all things that you and I make up about situations in our life. You just have to know that you're creating them, and now I'm asking you to become aware of that, because awareness is the first step to changing anything. So as you think about your day-to-day interactions with people, start noticing how you're giving meaning to them. As you drive down the road, you know, what comments are you making about drivers? That's your perception of how you think things should go. And I ask you, is that giving you peace, joy, and love that you want? Well, then just notice it, you know. Notice they're driving a certain way, but don't go on about what it means. Oh, crazy women drivers and all of that, because that takes you out of your peace. You're giving your power away to other people. As you watch the younger generation interact with technology, what are your comments? They aren't sociable, but they're always on their phone. Is that really true? Based on my generation, we had more and more face interaction without devices in our hands. Those are common comments that are made. But for them, that's how they interact. And what I'd say to you is, how about Facebook? Hasn't Facebook allowed you to be in contact with many more people that you probably wouldn't have been communicating with? I know for me, it's a great tool to use for my business and then also personally to catch up with what's happening with some friends that live far away and their families that I don't always get to be with. When your husband doesn't take out the trash when it's full, what do you make that mean? When you aren't invited to an event you've heard others talk about, what do you make that mean about you? The reason it's so important to understand how you give situations, people, and things meaning is it's usually how your life expectations are set up. And when you or others aren't meeting those, that's the anger, frustration, yelling, cursing, or however you act out on your feelings that come out. That's where the shoulds come into play. They should be doing this. I should have been able to do this. And that's where life gets out of whack, out of alignment with what's right for you. And then understand that what's right for you is not necessarily right for other people. Like young kids using technology today, it's not the tools that we grew up with, but for them, that's their world. And if it's your own kids, set some rules and guidelines around them. If it's bothering you around dinner time or they're watching too much, you know, TV or whatever they're doing. But it's the meaning that we give that's important for us to pay attention. If your partner tells you no about something, what kinds of conversations are going on in your head? He's mean, you know, that's not fair, you know, I'm not worthy, I never get my way. Whatever it is that you have going on, just notice it and ask yourself, is that helping you or your relationship? Or can you just notice and observe he just said no about that situation? How about when you didn't get the promotion? What are your comments about that? That's not fair. He's not even qualified for that. Or if you have to make a comment, could you say comments like, I know better things are coming my way? All of the meaning that we give to situations are often creating angst in our life, and it's not necessary. So I ask you to start paying, attention to how you're assigning the meaning to things that are keeping you stuck in the past or creating disharmony in your life. Your life is worth so much more than staying in the mental games of creating unnecessary meaning to situations. So what if you just became the observer? Instead of reacting to these situations and carrying on some inner or sometimes outer negative dialogue, what if you just noticed, I didn't like that? And in the case about no, do you need a conversation about it to understand more about it? But just notice, or do you let your emotions take over and plug you and keep you upset? It's these type of mental games that are played in life that create havoc and unsettling in life. It's how relationships get so out of whack because of what you make things mean. Do you know men are from Mars and women are from Venus? They don't think the same. So trying to impose your point of view on someone else creates barriers and walls. Address your feelings and concerns without the added meaning. And it's not easy to pay attention to all the meanings that we give to situations because so many times you have emotional attachments to the situations. You've made certain things make it mean something about you. Like, for instance, if people don't agree with what you say, do you make that mean that you're not worthy, that you're a bad person? What is it? Or can you just acknowledge they just thought differently than I did? No needed meaning on either side of the situation. So challenge yourself and ask yourself, how can I add more peace, love, and joy and abundance in your life by releasing the need to give meaning to situations? Spend more time noticing what happens when you don't give meaning to situations. See if there are certain areas that it's easier for you just to become the observer. Just notice, oh, yeah, I didn't like that. But don't go on about the tirade about it. What you want to do is to interrupt your pattern so you can create something that brings you more harmony in your life. So shifting your mindset and letting go of these assigning meanings to things will provide great relief and joy to your life. It allows you to focus more on what you want than what you don't want, to try to think of solutions, commitment, rather than problems and continuing down that rabbit hole. It's just a habit of the way we interact. You do better when you know better, and that's why I'm sharing these tools and these ideas with you. And as I said at the beginning, I hope there's a couple of them that spark some interest in you and you start thinking about them so that you can live the life that you want, so that you can find more compassion and kindness in your interactions. So as we end this session, I want you to think about, how are you feeding your mind, keeping it fresh? Use the worksheet to help you. Find situations you want to add in your life. Find someone who's doing it well that you like and admire. What are those qualities they have? Which one of those qualities do you need to have that happen for your life? What type of training or classes do you need? Just like I was telling you about mine, I'm going to have to learn about webinars and then Facebook ads. So then next, start paying attention to your thinking, even if it's as little as positive words coming out of your mouth. If you find yourself in negative conversations or reading negative stuff, shift out of those scenarios and move to something that brings you more love or joy. And then finally, begin watching the meaning that you're assigning situations and scenarios in your life. How are they serving you to be the best friend you can be, the best partner, the best person or colleague that you could be? Are they bringing your life more peace and love and abundance? And realize you always have a choice to participate with that type of inner dialogue or not. Make choices that enhance and enrich your life. Your life is precious, and you deserve to have the life you desire. And it all is possible. Thank you so much for joining me, and thanks for allowing me to be part of your life and journey. May you do all you can do to sharpen your mind and create the life that you want. Next month's call will be Tuesday, November the 3rd, and it's going to be on fun and spirituality. So I hope you take the time to join in my conversation on Facebook or send me a message at DottieHager.com about your ideas or something that sparked your interest or something that maybe even frustrated you, because if it sparks some kind of emotion in you, it's time to start digging and looking at that. If my daily tips can help you, sign up for those at DottieHager.com also. I send them out every weekday, and they're just great reminders to help you have the life that you want. Sharpen your mental game and add lots of peace, joy, and love to your life. Thank you so much.